Hello and welcome to Comic Book Club. Here are your hosts, Alex Zalbin, Justin Tyler, and Pete LePage.
Hey. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And thank you so much to do you want a special name or something?
That's okay.
You're okay? All right. Yeah. You're all right.
Nice sound guy.
I mean, saying like you're falling.
Yeah, like I'm falling off.
Yeah, that's how you, I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Oh, how many O's are in there? Like 9?
It's like a bunch of umlauts.
23. Wow, great.
23 O's. That's great.
That's hot. Yeah.
We should probably call him O-Man.
Yeah.
O-Man.
The O-Man.
Oh, boy.
Guys, we have some big news we're going to talk about right here at the top of the show.
Sure.
Top of the show.
Top of the show. So this is actually going to be, for now at least, our last show here at Fontana's.
That's right. True.
For a little while. Which is sad.
Bittersweet.
Yeah.
Bittersweet. But we are looking around for a new venue, so if you are a venue manager, own a venue, have
an
alleyway,
asking for favors.
Trash can, lasagna pan, literally anything a cat can perform in would be great.
Are we
for us.
Cats?
In a way. We're all, let's say, 3 Garfields, and the comic books are lasagna.
Yeah. Oh. Do you know, this is true. We never talked about this. People always ask us, how did you guys get together? How did you do the show? Mm-hmm. The thing they never ask us is why we do the show on a Tuesday. It's because we hate Mondays.
Yeah, we really hate Mondays. Pete's the Odie we keep kicking off the table.
Do you remember that time we mailed you to Abu Dhabi?
I know. I'm normal.
Yeah. Oh, you're okay.
You're Odie because you're like
what? Because I have a big tongue.
You have a huge tongue. That's exactly what I was going to say. You're really nice, and we're still mean to you.
Let's be honest. You were saying it because you think he's stupid, right?
Yeah. Okay. That's another
way
of saying
up.
It. You're clearly Garfield because you're a dick.
Yeah. I owed it.
And Tom cool. is the John.
Yeah, there we go. Guys, we're going to blow out the show, and then we're going to burn this place to the ground, so that's kind of exciting.
Fuck yeah!
Help us out. One of our favorite guests on the show. Very excited to have him here. Incredibly a talented comic book creator. Ladies and gentlemen, Swifty Lang!
Welcome to the show. Welcome back. Up, welcome back. Up. High fives all
Tripping
around.
Up.
Woo! Woo!
Awesome. Interesting.
Swifty, thanks so much for coming on here.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
So we were talking about this a little bit before the show. You've done a lot of work on various comics, but you're starting to move into digital comics, and you promised you were going to lay some truth bombs down.
Holy shit.
What does that even mean?
I'm here to bring it tonight.
Oh, shit.
Here we go. What's going on, Swifty? Lay it on us.
I'm not moving to digital exclusively.
That's
already
retracting a statement. What I can tell you as a creator is there's often a lag between when an idea gets developed, when an idea gets pitched, and when an idea actually, if it gets produced. Now, when I first got into comics, the reason
And this is 82?
1882.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Your first
comic
book.
Even before, I think Gutenberg and I were collaborating on some stuff.
Steve
Gutenberg.
When he was the highest paid actor in Hollywood.
Oh, my God. Why has nobody gotten Steve Gutenberg to do a Gutenberg's press?
That's
money in the bag.
The first scripted book was the script to Police Academy.
It was actually Police Academy Mission Miami Beach.
Yeah, which is the best.
That's weird.
And which is my hometown of all places.
It was Mission to Moscow and Miami Beach.
Yeah, I know. They started later in the series and then went back. Just like Star Wars. They started with episode 7 or something.
What are you guys talking about? Swifty was
we're
in the middle
trying
of
to talk. We're trying,
to get an exclusive bomb drop out of him. So, let's do it.
He is about to announce that he's writing the Citizens on Patrol comic book.
We're
revving up
I wish. Yeah. Honestly, Miami Vice would be a dream comic for me. Really? I love that show. I have a funny Philip Michael Thomas story I can tell you if I had some time.
We don't.
Okay,
nope.
So another time.
We're in a huge rush.
Although Edward James Olmos was at Baltimore Comic Con, and he is a sweetheart. I was super nervous when I met him because, Blade Runner... Of course, Adama, but holy shit, he's the commissioner.
Yeah, strong personality.
Oh, yeah.
Father figure to us all.
He smolders. He really smolders.
Oh, but sexual. He has a sexual edge to you.
Did you fuck him?
Is that the bomb drop?
Is that the bomb drop?
That's not the bomb drop. No, So basically, the talk about moving towards digital is that as a creator, what you really want to do is make stuff.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is we're competing in an industry where it takes beyond the ability to tell a story. You have to move through so many different worlds to get that story out there. Mm-hmm. And even though I will continue to play that game, I think that to rely on that exclusively is a detriment to yourself as a creator and also as someone who is sharpening their skills. So I'm not saying exclusively I'm walking away from doing
it
more conventional comics.
That sounds like what you're saying.
But what I am saying is I'm about to drop some ill shit because I'm really frustrated with the way things are.
Boom!
The stuff that I'm dropping right now, do you guys know what a Tijuana Bible is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
I know.
So,
wait. It's a Bible you got in Mexico?
Yes. No, in a cheap hotel room.
It's a Bible that you personally would love to get because it usually has pictures of topless women in them.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a Tijuana Bible?
Okay.
It doesn't make any sense. Really
do you not know that?
I'll give a very brief history.
So
these two prudes are befuddled by this.
So Tijuana Bibles were basically it was taking Sunday comics, classic panel like Sunday comics, like your Blondies and your Beetle Baileys. Have them abusing drugs and wearing tassels and just getting ill in hotel rooms and just being really grimy. And I think there's something beautiful about that. And at some level, they were a precursor to the underground comics movement, definitely an inspiration. And essentially, I think we're at a point where, first of all, you have a lot of artists out there who are Tumblr artists, you know?
Yeah.
They're not even doing sequential art anymore, and they're developing huge followings based on their drawings of Batman, but there's actually no artistry there. It's their own interpretation. Now, there's technique. I'm not saying there's not technique, but to create something from scratch and tell a story is incredibly, not only the process, but people's attention is so clued in and focused on when you go to the spinner rack or when you go to your Wednesday purchase, you know, how many people are actually buying a title they've never heard of? It can be incredibly disheartening.
Right.
It can be incredibly disheartening. But it shouldn't stop you from creating. Because at the end of the day, no one can stop you from creating. And that's kind of the point I've reached as a creator, is I'm tired of asking for permission. I'm tired of asking people, oh, will you read this? Would you publish this? Because at the end of the day, even if they do that, the machinations of actually getting your ideas out there in a way that's visible, it's quite difficult.
So you're going to jump into like early 20th century pornography?
Yes. but it
makes sense to me.
That's smart.
It makes sense
that's
to me.
So
like,
it's more than that. This is also all of the series that I've done have been limited runs. You know, my background is film. Mm-hmm. So they're all self-contained stories.
Right.
Okay. I've never really done an ongoing.
Yeah.
So in some ways, this is the most autobiographical thing that I've done as well.
Right. It's a Tijuana Bible.
So it's awesome. It's basically broad strokes.
What life have you lived?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Well, I'm from Miami originally.
There it is. Now that's
Operation
a
Miami Beach.
I went to my first strip
that's
club.
What it's called.
I went to my first strip club when I was 15, and I learned a very valuable lesson.
Right. You're not.
You like it.
Subway dollars are not legal tender for strippers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you
very
want to
valuable
wait, wait.
Lesson.
How did you get into a strip club when you're 15?
I had an ID from Belize.
Oh,
I'm telling you, I'm from Miami. Awesome. Things are a little bit
like
different down there.
So you want to do a comic where like Jeffy from the Family Circus has a little dotted line behind him going into a strip club, going into like a marijuana dispensary?
Well, it's based on another influence in my life that I've never touched upon. The Two Live Crew are a big influence of mine because I grew up in Miami in the 80s.
Oh, same.
I've met Luther Campbell very recently. And the thing about this, and this ties back into what I'm saying, is I also feel that comics right now are in a very dangerous place.
Dangerous?
Very dangerous. In that we are starting to self-regulate to a point where artists are starting to say, well, can they actually say this because it's not their experience? You know, very recently, and this is some controversial stuff, you know, let's talk about Strange Fruit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Should Mark Waid have been hired to do that? If that's his story, depends on who you ask. Now, there are two perspectives. There's the first reality, which is when I was walking around in Baltimore, the reality is there were mostly white men in the room at the Harvey Awards. No doubt. That's the reality. So the question becomes, is this an industry controlled by white men? Yes. However, this leads to a very dangerous place where, in my experience, if comics are literature, and I get behind this, there is something called the literary imagination, meaning that I should be able to write about whatever the fuck I want to write about.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not a Somali pirate, and I'm not a Mexican family trying to get across the border into Arizona.
Right.
And now we have politics where people are questioning, even before something gets written, whether or not they can say this. And that's a really dangerous place to be.
Wow.
I think that's true.
True.
So but, I mean, think to be fair, we booked you on the show because you said you were a Mexican family.
Yes, yeah. I'm an entire...
that's really fucked up.
I'm an abuelita, actually. Yeah. But some of the best fiction that has been written is really about this historical imagination. Because what it's really about, in my estimation, and people forget this, and this I can tie in Plunder and plug this, but this is really the most important point, is it's about empathy. And essentially, it's about finding those things that are universal. Because I don't care if someone is Hispanic or Black or Asian, there are things that are universal. And there are things that make our experience universal. And if we can touch upon those, then we've hit upon literature. And comics should do that.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Damn.
Preach it.
I disagree. I'm sorry.
What?
Mission statement.
No, I think comics should be homogenous. I think they should be all the same.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oh.
Yeah. I think they should represent my white experience.
Yeah. And, you know, finally, a chance to see the white experience. Yeah.
And for me,
I feel like as a middle-aged white man, I'm not represented enough in the media. Oh,
you calling yourself middle-aged now?
Wait.
Okay. Finally.
I'm so old.
Wait.
Did you hear that? He called himself middle-aged.
Yeah, but Swifty was trying to say
I work with horrible young people
all day. I will also say that for me to not recognize that it is not a white male-controlled industry right now, predominantly. And, you know, yes, we're doing comics forward, but the reality is that's become a marketing tool. Let's be honest. You know, let's talk some real shit, you know? That's been sold now. Diversity has become a branding tool. And that's equally dangerous. So if we really want to make things fair, if we really want to be honest about how things are, everyone should have the right to tell whatever story they want. It doesn't matter where they're, you know, yes, I'm a white male. I'm not going to hide that. My ability to stand up here while I'm sitting actually drinking beer and say this, is that white privilege? Perhaps. I'm not going to be disingenuous about this. But I am also going to say that, much like the Two Live Crew, I'm going to push that shit. I'm going to be as nasty as I want to be.
There you go.
There
nice. Wow.
I feel like you're co-opting Black culture. And it's time to move on with our next section, which we like to call
I believe that's known as code switching.
What?
Oh, shit. Yeah,
that's great. Awesome. We're going to move on with our next section called The Stack, just because we got to move on.
Woo-woo!
But,
yeah.
Thank you, Swifty, for laying some truth bombs on us. Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's some truth
bombs. That's awesome.
Especially
about some comics by white men, if you guys don't mind.
Is that what you want to do?
Cool.
Let's do it.
With the...
What? Greg Morrison and
Chris Burnham. He's a middle-aged man.
With Nathan Fairbairn on Nebulous. To be fair, Grant Morrison is Scottish, which is very diverse.
Yeah.
So there you go. This is Nameless number 5, though it barely matters. Pete, you want to talk about this a little bit?
Yeah. Guys, Grant Morrison just wrote a very straightforward story about... I like
Shut
how you didn't want to waste your vodka to do a real spit take.
Yeah, you did a spit take.
This is just a story about a businessman and his struggles Selling fruit.
Well, let me ask you guys a question.
Oh, boy.
That's not true. Let me ask you guys a question. So we've interviewed Grant Morrison a couple of times, right?
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
And Grant Morrison, when you interview him, is a bunch of crazy nonsensical nonsense.
No, like, he's Lex Luthor.
He's Lex Luthor.
He looks like Lex Luthor.
Super right. smart guy, really funny, but I don't understand. Very quick, and you can't really understand.
What does his accent have to do with it?
Well, because you can't understand him
right.
most of the time. He's great. I love Grant Morrison. He's amazing.
You just pick out words like Cthulhu, Buddha,
yeah.
the
so
grand experience.
This book, I love this book. Chris Burnham's art is so good,
yep.
and it's so crazy, and it's about somebody going to a hell asteroid or whatever is going on.
I believe it was a
but
vagina asteroid.
I cannot read a Grant Morrison book like this anymore without interviewing Grant Morrison about it
yeah.
at the same time. Where I'm like, I'm reading this book, I don't understand what's going on. In the back of my head is Grant Morrison is explaining it to me in air quotes.
Yeah.
Where he's like, well, you understand, of course, it's an asteroid, and the asteroid, of course, is hell, and the hell opens to another dimension. Yeah. And the dimension, of course, itself is actually hiding a god that's made out of heart veins.
Yeah.
Which is actually what happens in the comic book.
Right.
Well, I mean, we've asked him questions like this, like, what's your process like? And I honestly think he just, like, screams ideas fully formed like into a pillow, and that's where the comics come from, because that's what it feels like. Feels like if you were just like
I don't
say nine things that don't match up, and you just like, ah, oh, okay, bubblegum, shoelace, the Nazis, and it just like becomes a comic book.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing. This book in particular, Nameless, is very much like a fever dream more than anything, because it's a guy. The basic plot, as far as I can grasp onto it, is this guy that's exploring this asteroid that actually holds a portal to hell.
Mm.
He's stuck in the middle of it, and while he's stuck in the middle of it, he's flashing through different points in his life where he has gone through to the other side.
Right.
So you're getting a book that jumps through to different time periods in this guy's life while he's embracing hell, which is impossible for the human mind to understand. So it's already...
I think I understand hell.
You get it?
Yeah, I got a pretty good grasp on it.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's being a really long line at a deli.
It's being late all the time.
Yeah. It's great. It looks great. It's great Grant Morrison stuff. It's crazy.
I feel like when you're buying a Grant Morrison book, you're saying to yourself, okay, I'm going to go on a crazy ride right now.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's fun and enjoyable, and you're like, what the fuck? But you keep reading because that's kind of his style. That's how he is. It's fun to read Grant Morrison stuff. Sometimes you're like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
And you just want to be like, hey, do you need the hugs or something?
Totally. But I guess the real question
I think this is enjoyable, though. I've been enjoying this book.
I mean, totally. One thing that you can say about Grant Morrison, which I really appreciate about him, is he does not pander. He makes you do the work as a reader. And I agree that it's a lot of work.
It's beyond work at this point, because I feel like a guy like Jonathan Hickman, he makes you do the work. There's a density there. You really have to absorb, read it, and like think about it. With this, it's not even work. It's just like, fill in the blanks if you want. make these ideas make sense, would you?
Well, the thing is, sometimes the stuff with Grant Morrison is you're like, oh, okay, I just got to keep reading, and then eventually it makes sense, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
So it's a mythological Mad Libs, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, Pete, as if there was something you could, smoke or take into your body somehow and read this and enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah. At the very least, I mean, we could say Chris Burnham, Nathan Fairburn, awesome, awesome art.
Very cool.
Worth picking out this book for that. Just for that. Since we're talking about hell, let's talk about another book about hell. Hellboy in Hell.
Let's stay in hell.
This is another book. This is actually, I think, almost the diametric opposite of what we were just talking about, because it's set in hell. Same sort of thing. It's Mike Mignola's tone poem about Hellboy, but story-wise, it's tying up a lot of stuff in the continuity.
Yeah, that's been going on for years and years.
Yeah. Right.
Pete, you're a big Hellboy
you
fan.
You love Hellboy.
Oh, yeah, this is great. I mean, this is...
You want to fuck him.
Whoa, take it easy, guys.
BPRD.
No. So anyways, I feel
wait, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Does he make you horny?
No.
Baby?
No.
Eventually, when he becomes king of hell.
All right.
So I think this is a little different Grant Morrison, where we're kind of in a tripped-out world, but he does a good job of, like, kind of giving you a little bit of a through line, even though it's a crazy world where things don't make sense. It's just kind of like following a river of blood in this book. But
literally.
Yeah. Yep. But this does a great job of like paying stuff off if you've been reading Hellboy, if you've been following along. And you this issue in particular, it's wrapping up a lot of stuff. I cannot wait for Hellboy to finally make it out of hell and get back to something.
Well, what do you guys think? I was thinking about a lot during this issue in particular, which is great. If you've never read Hellboy, I have literally no idea how to explain this to you because it's way too deep. But, yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful comic book, and it's a great story.
Yeah.
But there's that promise, right, with fiction that the heroes are going to win, they're going to get it back. Is that going to happen? Is Hellboy going to get together with Liz and Abe Sapien and take back the Earth?
You know, I don't think so, because I feel like it's dipped so far. He's fully mythological now. I think he's beyond
Plus,
all that.
The stuff that is BPRD that's taking place on Earth, like, everything is so fucked. Like, how...
Well, I mean, I think that could be a great position for the world to be in for Hellboy to come back. But what I was going to say about this book is I have loved Hellboy for years. Like, we've read it our entire time we've been doing the show.
Not me, but...
Huh? Yeah,
me.
You're like... You have different
I'm a Johnny completely.
You have, like, bad taste, yeah.
Yep.
You're a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
You enjoy reading the newspaper.
Yeah. I'm 20. Soon I'll be 40 and I'll be dead.
That's great. Yeah, I know.
Yep.
You're the freshest guy at MTV.
Sure am. Hey, you kids want to hang out and talk about music?
Oh, my God.
To be fair, you do have the musical taste of a 15-year-old. Girl.
That is true. Somebody asked me my age the other day at work, and I was like,
I have to lie.
Yeah, I literally, rockets popped out of my feet, and I disappeared into space.
I've been in that position, and I'm the youngest of of this trio.
Yeah.
Are you?
I am.
Yeah.
100%.
We've had this discussion.
Yeah. I'm the youngest and tallest.
Not by much.
By like, read my
what
stat
year
card.
And what inch.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, the Hellboy, I feel like, for so many of these issues in the In Hell arc, has been just standing there. He's been sort of just like learning about hell, observing things around
him. Well, I think that's when you get to a new place. They give you the tour. They tell you how it works.
Oh,
they're like,
yeah, it's like
don't step
a
in
job
that.
At
don't drink
don't
out of that.
Don't step in that?
Yeah, it's hell.
Yeah, there's a lot
what
of
tours
junk
have
around.
You got on?
I'm talking about Hellboy's tour in hell.
I'm saying, but you're saying like it's a normal tour. Where have you got on tours where they're like, hey, don't step in
that? No, they're like, don't use that door. It doesn't work so well. Use the other door.
Door? But like, very specifically, you're like, don't step in that.
Yeah,
he only tours like shit-filled barns or something. He's a real leaf peeper. But I'm just saying, like, we are learning a lot about the mythology of Hellboy and just a lot of like hell
and
mythology, which is very cool. But I feel like I've lost touch with the character. I feel like he's sort of in charge. And we are sort of as well.
That's why I want to see him get out of hell.
Exactly.
Even more than the, come on, we're going to take back the Earth. Let's let the good guys win. I want to see him...
feel something.
Yeah, feel something, do something. And I understand that this is about loneliness and sadness and isolation. But, it's sad to read.
You know, meet
Swift,
someone.
Swift, you read this, right?
Which one?
The Hellboy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I appreciate about it is it could still be read as a wordless comic as well. I mean, the art is just incredible.
That's true.
I mean, I love all of Mignola's work for that reason. And come on, man, Dave Stewart. That's all I got to say right there.
Yeah. Amazing.
Cool. Let's move on and talk about Grayson, number 12 from
DC
Comics.
This book is one of my favorite
comics.
You've won me over with this book.
That's the first, like a first.
Yeah, it is.
Holy shit. This book is...
I hate things that you like.
I know, almost across the board.
Yeah, but this is unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. It's so good. I feel like Tom King and Tim Seeley have been working on this book since it started, and it's been a lot of like spy stuff. Dick Grayson.
It's been all over the place.
It's part of Spiral. But what I really love what they've done is for so many single standalone issues, they have little games in them that are weaved into the narrative, and it's so smart. It's so like deliberately done, and still we're following Dick Grayson's journey. Like it's very heartfelt. We see the whole Bat family. We find out how he relates to them and how like they argue and but still care for each other. Like there's so much going on in this issue, and it's also just a great story about an adventure he's going on.
As a writer, I can tell you one of the things I really appreciate about this is it really puts language front and center. I can't really remember a comic with as much text that's on the shelves right now in one particular issue. But what it creates, and they did this really, really well, are the splash black pages where language is really focused. I mean, this read like black box theater,
right,
where you really have a sense of a flow of ideas where you're overwhelmed by this kind of thinking, and it creates a state of pure emotion. Like, this is theater. And even, you know, the title nails it right there, you know?
And it's drawn to be very theatrical.
I just, let's talk about the artists for a little bit.
Sure.
Because I feel like we talk about Tom King and Team Silly, and they're doing an amazing job with this book.
They are, yeah.
But it's Mikkel Janin, I'm going to assume that's how you pronounce it, Hugo Peters, Juan Castro, and Jeremy Cox. And this is a gorgeous book, consistently with an incredible layout. Like, the layout, the way that they put together the panels is fantastic. It feels almost revolutionary.
Everything's working to tell the story and to get us involved.
Let me throw something out to you guys, because I was actually weirdly thinking about this far too much this week in terms of Grayson. I feel like they weaved Grayson too much into the overall DC tapestry. Like, what I feel like is, whenever there's a really good book with a Marvel or DC, and maybe this ties into what you were talking about a little bit earlier, but when you have a really good book, everybody wants to be involved in that book because it's so good. You know, if you have a Hawkeye or a Grayson for DC, everybody wants to be a part of that. And Grayson, the whole idea is he died, he's separate from the DC universe, he's out of it. But over the past couple of months, whether it's sales reasons or otherwise, you've had more and more guest stars, people showing up, finding out about his secret that he's dead, in quotes. And it's a little disappointing for me. I wanted to see it stand on its own and be separate.
I completely disagree. I feel like the way that they've had the moments of the cameos in this is so heartfelt and, like, really amazing. Like, when Robin's looking at him and, like, I thought you died. They both say that at the same time.
Yeah,
like, you want to talk about the art being able to nail, like, a moment like that in a way that doesn't pull you out. It really felt like a live theater.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Like, I think they've done it well, and it's well done. But it feels to me, when you get to that point, that's the end of the story.
Wow. I mean, another thing I could say about this particular issue is that even without knowing all the intricacies of the narrative, I found technique so compelling that I was willing to take the journey.
Yeah.
And I think there
That's
is something
impressive.
To be said about that, because it's very rare where, I mean, you know, there are plenty of comics on the shelves that it's just space punching. Like, I mean, not all of them, but I mean, we love our action sequences, especially when they're rendered beautifully. But this was really something special. And I just want to give a quick note. I worked with Rebecca Taylor on Plunder, little sort of plug. She is a brilliant editor, and you can definitely see her fingerprints on this issue.
So, I want to say, like, with the art, like, you have Grayson kind of trying to be disguised as another person. And, like, I feel like that would be really hard for an artist to get that assignment. We have to make that person look different, but then similar enough where you can recognize them. And it's just those little panels that were done so well with such care and such a big story.
It's not that hard. It's like those magnet mustache things.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Fuck you for undercutting my point.
You ever drawn a mustache on a picture?
No, I don't graffiti.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever drawn on a picture?
Oh, let's see. Well, probably a number of penises. That's not that weird, though.
Yeah, I guess not.
Drawn on a picture? I don't know. I guess I'm not doing a lot of doodling.
All right.
What are you drawing that's weird?
I don't want to talk about it.
You brought it up.
Come on, truth bombs. This is the last show. Drop it.
Sure. When I was a teenager and I had never seen boobs before, sometimes I draw boobs on comics.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
On comics?
You were that guy?
Yeah, with nipples, yeah.
Oh, that used to piss me off so much. I pick up a comic from, like, a waiting room where some asshole drew boobs on it.
Yeah, you went to the same doctor I did?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Dr. Hansen Franz?
Great. Excuse me?
That's definitely made up.
Well, let's log that away in our Alex is a Perv file.
Yeah.
Which is full. It's bursting.
Yeah. Well, I really wanted to just finish it off before we left Fontana.
Yeah, I know. This has been your real erotic journey.
You're only a pervert if you feel guilty.
That is not true. That is not accurate.
Dramatic pause.
Speaking of finishing things off, I think we're going to finish off the stage.
Yeah. Tom.
All right, guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because I get to come out to you guys, the lovely Fontana's audience. Aww. Oh, God, aww, I'm going to miss you so much. So you guys can ask absolutely any question of us, me, Justin, Pete, any of us, or Swifty, if you have a set question specifically for Swifty. And you're
going to
get some free comics. So raise your hand if you have a question, and I'm going to come on over to you.
All right.
That's the spirit.
All right, what's your name, sir?
Curtis.
All right, Curtis, what's your question?
This is kind of random, but what's your favorite combination or integration between comics and music?
Ooh, comics and music. I'm going to steal Justin's answer and say Umbrella Academy.
Ah, fuck.
There you go.
That, I mean, that's like... That's not really a real integration.
Right?
It's having a musician writing it, but there's not a super.
I tried that. They're like, I've heard of like mixes that people make for reading comics, and then there's also like there was that Deadpool issue where like he was kind of singing along, so you could like play the song at the top of the comic and kind of follow along with him. But I can't do both. I've tried numerous times.
Have you, this is my actual answer rather than stealing Umbrella Academy. Have you guys ever read Black Metal?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Black Metal is awesome, particularly the first volume. The rest of them are really fun, but the first volume, what?
Have we ever read it?
We've talked
about it on the show like numerous times.
I'm asking the audience.
Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ.
You were like, have you ever read? No,
have you guys?
Asshole.
I'm talking down to you guys.
Yeah.
Have you read comics?
Are you aware of this comic called Black Metal?
Let me quickly mansplain it to you.
Oh, boy.
No,
I believe it'd be middle-aged mansplaining.
Oh, God, I'm so old.
I can't believe you identified yourself as a middle-aged man.
I know you can't believe it. You keep bringing
it up. I don't
even
know what's going on with me. I bought a sports car the other day.
Oh!
You said sports coat, right?
Yep. I bought a sport.
Did you really?
Did you have a point before we started berating you?
Yeah, my point was that Black Metal is great. That's one of the only books I've read where you could feel music playing in the background even if you weren't listening to it.
I feel like I've been reading the new Phonogram series.
Yeah,
and that is.
Do you feel like it, or have you actually been reading it?
I have been reading it.
All right.
What did I say that?
Yeah, you said I feel like I've been reading it.
Well, I know. I feel it, and so it must be true. I've been reading that, and that is very musical, in its way. And also, I feel like Kieran Gillen often uses music. He has a lot of playlists. He feels very musical. I feel like Wicked and Divine has a lot of musicality to it.
Yeah.
And it's very tonal.
Yeah,
so.
Particularly, I think it was the last issue, the remix issue.
That was very cool.
That was awesome. Yeah. That was so cool. If you didn't read it, definitely don't pick up this issue first because that title is so dense. But he did a remix issue using previous panels from previous issues with color overlays, also some overlays from Sex Criminals mixed into it, and it's really neat. It feels like its own original story, even though it's mostly repurposed material.
I have a long answer, but I'll knock them out.
Yeah.
Okay. Ben Maher's Gangsta Rap Posse is badass. Yeah. Charles Soule's 27 is conceptually brilliant. Jeff Barrant's Odd Schnoz and the Odd Squad, because
the
guy is a great musician, and I love what he's doing in terms of bringing it.
Yeah, we
all
just
together.
Had him on the show, dude. He's amazing.
He's awesome. And Matt Rosenberg's We Can Never Go Home Again is, I think I got the title right, but I really like what he's doing in terms of imagery and the mixtapes and all that.
Speaking of music and comics, it makes me think of our old buddy Claudio Sanchez.
He did
I Kill Audio, which was an amazing book, and also Key of Z was an interesting kind of idea that, like, if a zombie apocalypse happens, there's a certain note that you can hit that just kills zombies.
Oh, Ed Piskor's Hip Hop Family Tree. I forgot that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is just, it's the Bible. There it's amazing what he's doing. It really is. It's amazing.
Totally. And Action Comics. All right. We'll take another question. I saw your hand raised. What's your name, sir?
My name is Pablo the Incredible.
Hi, Pablo.
Wow.
Pablo
that's
the
a
Incredible.
Great name. What's your question?
What is the hardest comic you had to find? I mean, what?
Hardest to find?
Oh, like you went to go find a comic and it ended up being the hardest, like...
Yeah, hardest comic to
find.
Great
question.
Yeah.
When I was obviously very into Starman, and I missed an issue. I missed issue 17 when it came out.
Yeah.
And I went to all the comic book stores in the area where I live in upstate New York. Couldn't find it. Went online, and this was when it had first come out many years ago, like late 90s or something. So like that was still.
Man, you must be middle aged then.
Not. Even close.
He's middle-aged minus, like, 1 year ish.
Yeah, two, maybe.
Two?
Pete's, right. Pete's old-aged.
Fuck off. Get off my lawn.
There you go. So that took, and I ended up finding it, and someone paid a bunch of money for it, like a bulletin board.
Swifty, what about you?
Thinking about that. You know what I had trouble tracking down this weekend? It's the freshest one in my mind. I was looking for the Solo, the Richard Corbin one. And at Baltimore, I finally tracked it down. It took me a while. I mean, I know they had the collection, but as a single issue, for some reason, that and the Paul Pope one were a little bit difficult to find. So I found them both, and I can't wait to read them.
Paul Pope one is very good. I don't think I've read the Corbin.
This is not a comic answer, but it was the first thing that came to mind. Back in the day,
It was hard to meet my wife.
It was hard to find her.
How do you find the one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I used to collect Marvel cards, like to the point where I was addicted to them, the little trading cards. And I bought so many of them nonstop every single week. I would go back to the store, buy tons and tons of Marvel cards, trying to find one of the hologram cards, that there were four of them in the entire set. Mm-hmm. And I remember so clearly, I went to the comic book store. I was like, I'm going to get one more pack. This is my last pack. And I had said that so many times. Like, really, seriously, straight up addicted to them. Yeah. Got the last pack, walked out of the store, opened it up, and there was the Venom versus Spider-Man hologram card. And I walked back to the store, and I was like, I got it. I got my Venom versus Spider-Man hologram card. And they're like, okay.
Get out of here, kid.
Yeah. And at that point, I was like, all right, I'm out. That's it. That's it for me. But that was definitely, in comics, the hardest thing to get.
I also collected those. I wonder who the person was that did the power set, like, did all the stats.
Yeah.
And was like, Black Knight's probably a 2 for power.
Right.
And, like, a 3 for agility. Like, what intern was like, he's a 7? Like, what nonsense answers were they just coming up with?
I remember... when I was younger, I fell in love with the Eastman Laird Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I had to have every single issue. And I'll never forget, it was Jim Hanley's where I finally tracked down the one that I didn't have. And it was like, I held it up in the sky like a freeze frame moment. And it was just like, nobody, like,
don't forget about
people
me.
Were just like, what the fuck? And I didn't care. I was having a moment, and it was like, I strutted out of there. It was just like, hell yeah. It was fantastic. But it took me many years to finally have that complete collection that I wanted.
Wow.
Right, worth it.
Thank you for your question. I think we can take one more question.
Yeah,
we can.
All right, woo. Come over to you. What's your name, sir?
My name is Jason.
All right, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
What's your question?
Based on the popularity of creator-owned books, both among creators and fans, where do you guys see the relationship between the big two and indie publishers in 5-10 years?
That was e-publishers, you asked?
Indie publishers.
I'm sorry.
Comics.
It's
going to
be so different. Even very soon. I was thinking about this also. I don't know why I was spending so much time thinking about various comics issues over the weekend.
You're in it.
I'm deep in it. I'm ready. But the fact that after Secret Wars, most of the major writers that have been working for Marvel are like, I'm going to leave Marvel. I'm going to do my own stuff at Image. I'm going to do my own stuff self-published other places. And this new crowd is ushering in is really interesting.
Yeah.
So we're going to see, and that happens every once in a while. There's a new crowd that gets ushered in. Older people move on to other things. The thing that's different this time is, I think, you're seeing a lot of these excellent writers. We've mentioned Kieran Gillen on the show already. We've mentioned Jonathan Hickman are telling the stories, to your point, that they want to tell.
Can I give a little dirty secret insight?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the deal.
Oh shit! Is this another bomb drop?
No, this is not a bomb. This is more like little smoke screen. In order to attract the kind of audience in which you could completely support yourself, and this actually, you know, very recently, Scott Snyder talked about he's made more on witches than he made for his entire run on Batman.
No shit.
Are you fucking kidding me? No, this is what he was talking about, is that on Witches alone, like this was his bread and butter.
God damn it. He killed Batman.
But in order.
It was fucking the best.
It's amazing. In order for your Brubakers, Snyders, your Fractions, your Charles Souls, in order for these guys, Brian Michael Bendis's. Because think about this. When most people go to the shop, like I said, they're looking right away for what they're familiar with.
Right.
So in order to become a brand in your own right, you have to write for properties. The challenge is if you're telling the stories that you want to tell from the outset, how do you get noticed? It's got to be the lightning in a bottle. It happens, but the goal is there's a trajectory. You write your book, you hope an editor at the Big Two recognizes that book and says, oh, this guy has some talent. The Big Two come to you. Like, you could show up and walk around the con and know who all the editors are and seek them out, but the reality is, don't call us, we'll call you.
Yeah, that's definitely
so.
Like a lot of creative fields.
Yes, that is correct. And you know, as the industry has moved towards film and television, and let's be honest, a lot of comics produced by the Big Two are little more than tie-ins or spin-offs for the television shows and films that they're interested in putting out there. Now, here's the other bit of this. In terms of indies, what these publishers are doing is essentially they're playing roulette. They're taking as many properties as they can. And you look at Image. They have like 50 titles issue one. You work somewhere. You know how much those issue ones sell. We talked about this today. They'll take their 50 properties. They'll put them on all of them. And they'll see what hits. And what actually hits is what they're going to end up putting their money behind. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. It's good business logic. This is what the mini majors did in film before they folded. So it's a very, very... You asked an excellent question, you know? Let me ask you something. Does a 12-year-old kid, a 10-year-old kid who goes to see the Fantastic Four movie, we know what we think of this movie. I'm just using it because that was the first one that came to mind.
It's the best comic movie of all time.
Oh, that's why you thought of it. The greatest.
Shut the fuck up.
How many 10-year-olds do you see buying X-Men comics? Honestly. We read comics, and I know this is not a TV show. This is, you know, we're on a podcast, but the majority of us in the room right now are probably older than 25. I'm just going
to
say that.
So Alex is bringing the mean age up.
Yeah, I'm 80. I'm middle-aged.
So you have to, if lightning strikes and you get to write for the Big Two, then you have that audience that you've attracted, you know. Brubaker is incredible, but he had to write Captain America in order to have the fade-out be the kind of thing that people are like, that's Brubaker.
Right. Yeah.
That's true.
That is definitely true.
All right, there we go.
I agree with you. Brubaker is a fucking fantastic writer.
Yeah, Remender just stopped doing
That was definitely the main takeaway.
Yeah.
Rick Remender just stopped doing any work-for-hire work, and he's only doing his creator-owned stuff.
There you go.
And he's amazing.
Oh, yeah, Rick Remender does
the short answer is totally different. Who knows? But we'll see. Thank you guys for your audience questions.
Real quick before we move on, Swifty, if you want to pick out your favorite question of the three we heard, they're going to win two tickets to the cosplay cruise on Friday, October 9th during Comic-Con.
Oh, my God.
Wait, my favorite question? They were all brilliant questions. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Okay, great. I know, but I'm asking you for something very specific.
Okay.
Don't look at the people that ask them.
Yeah, don't make eye contact. That makes it
awkward. Don't let them know who you're thinking.
Because, you know what, they're going to make faces and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You really put me on the spot, basically.
Just pick one.
Pass the buck. I'm gonna say Jason because he's gonna give me big ass discounts next time I roll by his shop.
Okay, that's over explain it. Jason, come see us after the show.
But you guys, those were brilliant questions, and thank you for coming out.
You guys did amazing. That's it for your audience questions. Yeah. All right, guys, super quick because we're running low on time in our lives because we're so old.
Correct.
We're going to move on to the Week of Geek. We're going to do some quick hits.
Let's quick do it.
Hits.
I love a quick hit.
Week of Geek, we're going to talk about some TV shows that came out this week.
Oh, so many.
TV is back.
Coming back alive. It's fantastic.
First of all, penultimate episode of Fear the Walking Dead. Did you guys check that out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what did you guys think about it?
Sort of boring.
What?
What?
Shut the fuck up.
You guys loved it?
Yeah, I really like the show a lot. Strand is one of my favorite characters in the Walking Dead universe. He's
awesome. As someone who has...
I love the fact that that guy was fucking tied up to the chair. I was like, hell yeah, fuck that government bullshit with the fence and the fuck we decide lives and dies. No, man.
Can,
was
I,
awesome.
Can I ask something, and so we can break this down?
Quick.
As someone who has yet to see the new show, but has seen the original and enjoys the original,
right?
Other than location, what would you say ideologically are the differences between the two?
It's, pacing? It's the opposite show.
Yeah.
That Walking Dead is showing, all right, the world's fallen apart. How do we put it back together? Fear of the Walking Dead is the world is about to fall apart. What does that do to people? How do we split off?
Yeah,
how do
and
we
also lose it also talks about how shitty the government is, which is awesome.
Well, it's sort of like the regular series is about people clinging to society and trying to figure out how you turn evil or whatever. And in this, it's people who are the first, the people that are the most interesting are the ones who are realizing that society is folding.
Yeah.
So,
it's, so more,
that's the,
it's more like World War Z, the book, then. It's like the macro.
Yeah, but it's very present. It's not at all just like, you know, it's
the
characters
zombies
are
a
very
smaller part about this new series, I feel like.
Yeah. All right. Real quick, since we are running low on time, let's talk about. No, that's fine.
That's great.
I love the show. Let's talk about Gotham. This is a big surprise. We talked about this a little bit last week. I have hated on that show so much for so long. I love the cast. They're some of the most lovely, wonderful people ever. But that show was a horrible mess. The season premiere was awesome.
They
finally figured everything out. It was hilarious, actually on purpose. It was great. It was exciting. It was weird. What'd you guys think of the second episode? Pete didn't watch it. What'd you think of the second episode?
I thought that I was not watching it.
I
am very into it.
I love it. I can't wait.
I am completely shocked because I feel like it totally kept it up in the second episode.
Yeah.
It was insane. There was great stuff. One of my, couple of my favorite moments, but like I'm very weirded out by the fact that they're doing Joker origin story.
Yeah.
But the guy who plays in Cameron Moynihan is awesome and hilarious. They're also teasing the fact that Aaron Richards, who plays Barbara Keene, is kind of Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Look at the
I
color scheme and her costume.
Yeah,
it's
I think
really
that's cool.
The second episode played like the second to last episode of a season.
Well, I just feel like with the premiere, it was there's so much more confidence in the in this show, and that's very exciting.
I'll just point out one little scene, and I know you guys didn't see it. Spoiler on this, but so Alfred does this crazy thing where Bruce finds the Bat computer, not the Bat computer, the Thomas computer or whatever, and he's like, "All right, I'm gonna get all the secrets off of this." And Alfred's like, "Oh, you are? All right, then I'm gonna beat the shit out of it with a sledgehammer and breaks it." So he gets fired. They have a scene where Alfred goes in and is like, "Well, I'm going to go to the train station." And Bruce is like, "Okay, goodbye." And then Alfred's like, "I'm leaving forever." And he's like, "That's fine." And he gets all the way to the door, and Bruce says, "Goodbye, Alfred." And then Alfred turns back and is like, "What did you say?" And he's like, "I said goodbye, Alfred." He's like, "Oh." And my question is, what in the world did Alfred think he said?
"I love you, Alfred."
Yeah, there's nothing that goodbye Alfred sounds like except for goodbye Alfred.
One pie, Alfred.
Yeah.
Good guy, my friend.
What'd you think of Heroes Reborn, though? That fucking was awesome.
I didn't watch it.
All right. I was really excited about
it. Yeah, did you like it?
You know, Heroes really kind of sucked as a TV show, but I'm excited for this new reboot.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
All right. And did you like it?
I did.
All right. There you go.
Great.
I'm interested.
Real quick before we go.
What if Heroes is going to be good, though?
Finally, some television we can watch.
Great. Real quick on other television we can watch, I'll just mention these really briefly because I got to check them out. Tonight is the premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
I got to check that out in advance. It's really cool.
It looks better.
Yeah, it completely picks up the pace from the last season. If you have never watched it before, it's actually it's very comic booky because it's a really good jumping on point. Like, they give you all the ins. They set up the stuff. There's crazy superpower stuff. Finally, everything is working on the show. Last thing I'll mention, and we'll probably talk about it more next week, but I also watched the season two premiere of The Flash.
Oh, you son of a bitch!
I did, and it's also really, really good.
That's
very excited.
But it feels like, again, that's another show that did not miss a beat over the summer.
Yeah.
Great stuff happened. There's some huge emotional stuff, but it's really good.
Why don't you share?
I can't wait for that.
Cool. Before we run out of time, let's move on to our next section, which is trivia with my good friend Pete LePage.
Yeah, the star of trivia, Pete LePage. Well,
do we even have time for trivia?
Of course we do. We got to give away a $25 gift certificate at Mint.com.
Who would like $25?
Here's the thing. You guys will be going there anyway, so come on up.
Come on up, Pablo. You know how it works.
By the way, all your questions.
Yes, sir. Years and years.
Yes, you have.
All right, great. In honor of Jeff Vermeer writing Moon Knight, which I'm fucking super excited about, we're going to do trivia on that.
Me too. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Jeff Lemire's Moon Knight starts with Mark Spector waking up in blank. Is it A, an insane asylum, B, jail, or is it C, sleepaway camp? So it's either A, which you should pick, and you should know that's the correct answer.
It's A. Wow.
Great. Nice. Question two. There have been amazing writers on Moon Knight, like Warren Ellis.
Yes.
But who else? Is it A, Mark Jameson, B, Brian Michael Bendis, or C, Jason Voorhees? You should say B, because B is the only fucking writer, and you know that.
It is.
Great.
It's B.
Great. Where was Mark Spector, the original Moon Knight, born? Is it A, Chicago, B, the moon, or is it C, Camp Crystal Lake?
It's obvious, man. It's A.
A is correct. Chicago.
I get the last card. Yes.
You did it. That's not the last card. There's gonna
Let's
be
keep
more
in
cards.
Mind, we're not. The show's not over.
We're just moving locations. Yeah. We've done that before.
Yeah. Fuck you, Pablo. Give us that fucking card back. You know what I mean? You piece of shit. We love our fans. We really love our fans. We also love Midtown Comics, who's been nice enough to sponsor the
show. They've been fantastic.
Definitely head there tomorrow when it's New Comic Book Day. As we all know, new comics come out on Wednesdays.
I'm looking forward to Savage Dragon.
But fuck Mondays.
Savage Dragon? What are you looking forward to in Savage Dragon?
I haven't picked up in a while, but it's still going on, and I think that's awesome.
Hold on, I'm sorry.
Oh, cool.
You haven't picked it up in a while?
I haven't.
When's the last time you picked it up? Did you pick it up before Young Dragon got three girls pregnant with
what?
His demon spawn?
What?
Did you pick it up before he had a threesome or a foursome? Or did you pick it up before he fucked his sister?
Whoa, what? Are you serious?
Yes, I'm 100% serious.
He may just be ranting.
I don't know, but...
You're trying it out because you haven't done it in a while?
I haven't done it in a while, yeah.
I'm looking forward to Europe. Haven't been there in a bit. I'm going to give it a try. Hope it's still cool.
I'm Hope looking forward fun. To youth.
Yeah.
Oh, youth.
Oh, you're done. You're done.
I'm going to give it a try.
So well.
Great.
What a
ringing endorsement.
Hurry up.
What
hurry up.
What
we got, we're out of time.
We're like, what? There's not no swords here. I'm looking forward to Archie.
In case you've never been here live, there's no swords here. Just so you guys know.
That may change at a new venue.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to Archie number 3.
Oh,
very excited for that book. The first two issues have been great. I look forward to it. It's beautifully drawn. It's a great story so far.
Yep. Cool.
I'm looking forward to Godzilla in Hell number 3. I don't know if
fun.
You guys have been checking it out, but it's, as you can imagine, exactly
like
what it sounds like. It's Godzilla going to hell.
Man, all you care about is hell.
Did you see the James Stokoe one?
Well, this is the thing that I was going to mention that's so cool about it. It's a jam sesh. So every issue is a different artist writer taking it on and telling the story and continuing. And it's... been out of pants, so I can't wait to see
like
what
the idea
issue
of Godzilla
three.
Going to hell.
So I agree with you on Godzilla,
go to heaven.
But I gotta say the Mads original Jack Davis for me is huge. He was my favorite artist before I knew who he was. His artwork still graces my apartment. He did an incredible Long Goodbye poster for Robert Altman. He also did a badass Bad News Bears poster, and he's just amazing. He has this sense of humor that's inherent in his lines and yet still rendered beautifully. So I didn't even know this was coming out, so thanks for sharing.
Great cool. News. Very quickly, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
So currently, you should check out Plunder, issues 1 through 4, if they do not have them in your comic book shop. shake them down. Also, if you're interested, my first edition, the first project I worked on with Michael Lipinski and Chris Mangan, and it's called Feeding Ground.
Oh, yeah. That
and it's available
awesome.
As a hardcover. Even if you hate it, story-wise, it makes a beautiful coffee table book.
Oh.
So pick it up.
Oh, very nice. Cool. Definitely check that out. Couple of things before we go. As we did mention, this is our last show at Fontana's, but we will still be doing the show every single week. So definitely tune back. If we come back to Fontana's, you're certainly welcome to visit. If we're at a new venue, check that out too.
We'll tell you on Twitter, probably.
Yes, we will. Yeah. But regardless, please keep listening to the podcast every week because it still will be going on. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live and check out the Cosplay Cruise Friday, October 9th at New York Comic Con.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely.
Follow me on Twitter at Swifty Lang, Lang, L-A-N-G. Shout out to Hang Dye Studios.
There you go. Nice. Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan.
Oh.
We want to thank Swifty for being on the show.
Yay!
We want to thank Tom on
top.
We want to thank everybody here at Fontana's for having us here. For the past couple of years, you guys have been amazing. We'll see you next Tuesday somewhere.
Thank you guys. Good night.
Good night.